Legends 92.9 now brings you Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware.
Well, the program's Lyrics and Legends. We got a really good one coming up this week in the studio with me. I've got a couple of cowboys that we drug in off the street. We're going to visit with them a little bit and find a little bit about where they came from. And they got some really good stories they're going to share with us, and then kind of see. We kind of go from A to Z, from where they've been to where they are to where they're going. So in the studio with me today is Jeff Copenhaver and also Leon Cliff, the man with two first names. So
yeah, that's right. Well, my name was when I played in the entertainment business was Cliff Reynolds. So Leon Cliff is my real name, but I went under Cliff Reynolds when I was with Roger Miller.
Oh, okay. See,
so you can call me Cliff.
We're going to call you Cliff, so unless I get mixed up, because every now and then I do that. And we'll start with visiting you, with you just for a minute, because you mentioned a name, Cliff, that kind of popular in our neck of the woods, Roger Miller. Talk a little bit about that relationship.
Oh, Roger Dean. Well, I played with him, played bass, and I've had a few little stories about him, but I'd probably not mention them. but anyway, I remember we were in Tahoe, I believe, at a place, and we started playing, and boy, we sounded like a 20-piece orchestra. There's three guys. The drummer was Jerry Ellison of the Buddy Holly and the Cricket Bunch,
yeah.
And then Thumbs Carlisle was the guitar player, played the guitar on his lap, flat, you know, played with his thumb, and then Roger and myself, and so the only part really I sung with Roger was King of the Road, and that was it, you know, and played bass. But if you look behind us, of course, we sounded so great, just a trio, but you pull the curtain back, and there was a 20-piece orchestra behind us. That's why we sounded like a 20-piece orchestra. But Roger and I, we were driving around one night. We were being toted around in a Rolls Royce, and Roger and I were in the back. And he started a song that I don't think he ever wrote. It's called Memories. He said, "Memories like these can't breathe this high. That's why mine are dying fast. There's no time like the present to forget about the past."
Well, that's pretty
so
good.
So I think he wrote it pretty much about Leah, his first wife, and they were a lot of fun together when they were separate. And but when they got together, they just kind of got all dry and everything. But anyway, Roger Dean was quite a guy. We had a lot of fun.
We'll get back to that in a minute. We may get you to play a song. Also in the studio with us is Jeff Copenhaver. Jeff may be a familiar name because we just recently started a program about three times a day with some of your stuff on here. And tell us a little bit about we're going to start with going back a little bit. Now, you were a pretty big-time rodeoer in the day, I think. Huh?
Well,
I don't want to make you sound like you're washed up or anything.
No. Hey, when I was little... growing up, my dad, when I was 6 years old, my dad won his first world championship in the saddle bronc riding. So
now tell everybody who your dad is.
My dad is Deb Copenhaver, who recently passed, and he was 94. The good news on that, he said, "You know, Jeff, I'd like to just lay down. When I go, I'd like to just lay down, go to sleep, and wake up in heaven." And that's what he did.
Oh,
he,
wow.
He was 94 years old, but as a little
that's
boy growing up,
yeah.
I mean, my dad was my hero, and he rodeoed with Casey Tibbs and Bill Innerman and Harry Tompkins and all the great cowboys from really a kind of a golden age in rodeo. And I remember Bill Innerman sitting, you know, for those of you listening that aren't familiar with that name, when you walk into the Hall of Fame, the Cowboy Hall of Fame in Oklahoma City, there's a big bust of a cowboy holding his saddle. Well, that's Bill Linderman.
Oh, okay.
And he was a great all-around world champion, president of the PRCA, and he just an extraordinary man in a lot of ways. But he sat me down on his knee when I was little, and I remember he said, "Now, I don't want to get R-rated here or anything, but he said, now, Jeff, if you were going to kick a bear in the butt, would it be a black bear, a brown bear, or a grizzly?" You got to know I'm like 6 years old, and then I got some pressure now, like, God, I never thought about it. What kind of bear would I kick? And I finally decided a brown bear was the least of the three. But these were the guys that I was raised around, and I didn't realize that when being little that they were passing something, not only my dad, but all these other guys were passing something on to me just through who they were, and that's that you can dream to be a champion.
Yeah. So where'd you grow up? Where did you grow up?
Oh, in Post Falls, Idaho, northern Idaho. Some of the prettiest country in the whole world. But I was born in Spokane, Washington. But that was my dream, I guess, literally from the time I was 6 or 7 till I was 25 or 6 years old when I won the World's Championship. And, you know, that dream came to pass. And, hey, it's great to have a dream and have it come to pass, right?
You bet. And something we've started on the station is you've got a little program. I don't know what you call it, but we call it a
God Wants You to Win program.
All right. Yeah. Cowboy Inspiration. Uh-huh. It's a really interesting program. Kind of what sparked that?
Well, really when I came, the rest of that story is I went back to my motel room the night I won the World Championship, and I sat on the edge of my bed and looked down at this gold buckle, and it was great and everything. But in my case, I'd made it everything. I'd made it my whole life. And I would encourage somebody not to make a thing in this world their whole life and do like I did and leave God out. And I didn't do that purposely. It's just that, God wasn't the center of my life. And that started a 3-year search. Long story short, I met my wife I've been married to for many years now. And she was married to a multimillionaire. A problem there is he tried to strangle her at some point, which is hard on marriages. So she was divorced when I met her. But she was like me. She had had only her deal. She'd had all this money and riches. You know, I had my dream come true, but we were both missing something. So we started a search. And that search, like in 2 years, ended up with her and I kneeling down and asking Jesus to come into our hearts.
All right. We're going to listen to one of your programs. The title of this one is called Horse Thief. This will give everybody a little taste. If you haven't heard this on the station yet, listen to this, and we'll be back in just a few more minutes to visit with Cliff and Jeff. We'll be right back.
I was on my way to the Odessa, Texas rodeo. First big rodeo of the pro rodeo year, and a teenage friend of mine named Ronnie and I stopped at Big Springs on the way out there at the truck stop, get something to eat. So things were pretty normal, and we went in, had a good meal, and felt good to just get out of the truck. However, we came back to the truck, and something shocking happened. My horse is gone. Little Joe is gone. Whoa, what in the world? And here's the deal. There's no halter. If his halter would have been there, I figured, well, he could have pulled back and broke the halter, and so he's off loose. But when I saw that the halter was gone, I knew that somebody had taken him. A horse thief. Guess what? Time to pray. You know, what a privilege and power in being able to go to a real God, the great God of the universe, who knows everything. He knows where everything's at, and pray. So we prayed, and we got real serious praying, and then we jumped back in our truck. We were looking around, and by the grace of God, off across the Texas plains was a little puff of smoke. So we got in the truck. This was just off on just sagebrush country, but we found a little rabbit trail to follow, and we were going 9-0 in this truck and trailer. We were bouncing and bucking along, and it was just crazy. Well, sure enough, we see there's a horse out there. And as we got closer, we could see there's a guy running with this horse. We found him. Horse thief. Now, if this was a movie and you were watching the young guy sitting next to me, his eyes were like saucers, and he's going like, what in the world is going on? And then when he's not only the buck and truck and trailer, but when we see, hey, we have caught us a horse thief, this young guy was stone silent. So we come upon this guy, and you got to know, I'm not just mad. I want to pulverize this guy. You know, they hang horse thieves, right? And the closer we got, the guy starts slowing down because he can see what the deal is, and we start hollering at him. But before, you got to know, 9 times out of 10, I would have done something right then that I probably would have been ashamed of later. But by the grace of God, guess what? This guy turns around, he stops with little Joe, and he had big tears, and he's crying. And he says, and that just froze me, and he said, I'm sorry, mister. I'm sorry I stole your horse, but all my life I've wanted my own horse. And I saw that horse, and I took him, but I was going to bring him back. I wasn't going to keep him. I just wanted to show him to my friends.
Wow. As he began to speak, I could tell he was mentally challenged. He was taking my horse back to his home, a mental institution. Whoa. I just about started crying myself. Long story short, we didn't have a lot of time to spare to get onto the rodeo. However, now we had to complete a new mission. Off we go to the mental institution to take little Joe to see our horse thief's friends. He guides us up to the dorm where he lives, and here comes an army of young guys who went wild over this horse. Hey, if Joe wouldn't have been gentle, they'd all been kicked and beat up because they were crawling underneath him, petting his legs, and it was crazy. But we let him go on as long as we could. We finally said, guys, we got to make it to the rodeo if we can. And, you know, pulling out of Big Springs that day with my rescued horse, I could barely believe this whole scenario. A lot of things were swirling around in my mind that night. You know, number one, start with, Jesus had answered our prayer. Isn't it great to know that God answers prayer? Number two, I was thankful that the Holy Spirit kept my anger in check long enough to let that young man speak first. In the book of James, it says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Number three, and this applies to all of us, it's great to be focused on our life's goals and all that. However, events of that day showed Ronnie and I both that we need to be flexible enough to see some special moments arise in your life that can change your life, let alone the lives of others. Here's a word for you, champion. Always pray first. Stay calm, if possible, in life's storms, and be ready to reach out with the love of Jesus. You're his champion. Go for it.
The program's Lyrics and Legends in the studio with us today. We've got Jeff Copenhaver and Mr. Cliff, Leon Cliff. So we just got to listen to a little bit of Horse Thief, which is Jeff's program that we feature here on the Legends Radio Network. Now, Cliff, you were talking a little bit about playing with Roger Millis. Talk a little bit about your background, where you grew up, and kind of how you got into the music business.
Well, I kind of started my growing up. I haven't made it yet, but in Odessa, Texas. And
I wouldn't want to tell your age, but maybe what year did you graduate high school?
I didn't.
Well, there you go.
I joined it. I'm 78.
78? All
yep.
right.
Anyway, I started getting into the music business. Of course, my dad was a musician, and my mom was a musician, and so I kind of grew up with music all my life. And so,
tell
any
me again, where you grew up? Because I
Odessa.
I kind of walked on you there. So.
Yeah, that's fine. And so, anyway, I finally did finish high school and went to college and for electrical engineering, and that didn't work out. So, so got into music. Anyway, there's a long journey about going to Las Vegas and meeting up with some guys, some old friends of mine, and they said, "Hey, it's Cliff." They sent me. I was out in the audience, and they said, "Hey, Cliff is out here." I said, "Hey, our bass player just left. Would you consider picking up with us? We're going to Hawaii and doing a gig over there." And I said, "Let me pray about it." So anyway, so that was
that was
kind of a deal there. I've done Good Night. It kind of started a journey. I played opening acts for The Doors, Jim Morrison and The Doors, Dave Clark Five, and the list goes on. Diana Ross, Supremes, I've opened for them. And, Roger Miller, Sonny and Cher. I mean, names kind of go on and on, you know, when you're in that kind of business. And so, anyway, I met with Jeff, and we've been headed down the road many times, taking the Word of God out as much as we could. And I like to try to sing songs that where I was, where I am, and where I'm going.
Well, that fits us pretty well.
Yeah.
Kind of fits our format.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go back and listen to one of those old Roger Miller tunes since we're just about 30 miles from his old hometown to the east of us. You got something you could throw in?
How about that Husband and Wives? I know that during that time that Roger was, I believe that's kind of having a problem with Leah, his first wife, and going through struggling times. But there's a Roger Miller song. Two broken hearts, lonely, looking like houses where nobody lives. Two people each having so much pride inside, neither I'd forgive. The angry words spoken in hate, such a waste of two lives. It's my belief pride is a chief cause in the decline in the number of husbands and wives. A woman and a man and a woman, some can, some can't forgive. Come on, Roger, come on for you, buddy. Two broken hearts lonely, looking like houses where nobody lives. Two people each having so much pride inside, neither side forgive. The angry words spoken in haste, such a waste of two lives. It's my belief pride is a chief cause in the decline in the number of husbands and wives. It's my belief pride is a chief cause in a decline in the number of husbands and wives.
Well, the program is Lyrics and Legends. That was a little Roger Miller. Always enjoy listening to that. Cliff, thanks. That was good. And also in the studio, Jeff Copenhaver. I'm going to keep saying that until I get it right, Jeff.
Hey, that's close enough. Anything close.
Well, that brings back a lot of good memories. And, you know, a lot of times Roger Miller gets tagged with a guy that just wrote off-the-wall goofy stuff, but he also wrote a lot of good stuff like that.
Exactly.
Jeff, you were, you know, we did one of your programs a little earlier called Horse Thief. That was, talk about where some of this stuff come. Where did Horse Thief come from? Where did you?
Oh, just a true story. I was kind of minding my own business rodeoing. And, you know, of course, for those of you that just listened to it, tied my horse up at a restaurant or in a trailer. And my friend and I, this young guy, go in and eat. We come back, no horse. I'm in Big Springs. And you got to know, at this truck stop, you could look off, and it looked like the moon, like a million acres, and like, my horse is gone. And but thing is, he wasn't gone. If the halter would have been at the trailer, then I'd have known he broke the halter and got away, but the halter was gone, which told me somebody stole him.
Oh, okay.
And so anyway, the story goes on, but it was a wild and crazy, you know, I said in the story that as I was chasing, I saw a puff of smoke dust way, way off in the distance. And I thought, oh, that's got to be our only shot right there. So this young guy sitting with me, and we were literally rocking and jumping and hopping across the Texas desert. And sure enough, we get closer. Here's this guy, and he's running as fast as he can with my horse. Well, it's like I said in the deal. I mean, you got to know, this is a few years ago. You know, they hung horse thieves, right?
Right.
And I was definitely, I might have been a Christian, but a hanging wasn't out of the possibilities, right? And, but it was so crazy because the timing was so good. And I was so thankful that it turned out the way it did, because as we pulled up, you know, got caught up with him, and he knew he had to stop because we had, you know, he couldn't outrun us. And this guy stopped, he turned around, he's a full-grown guy, but you could tell he had some mental challenges, and he just dropped his head and he started crying. And I thought, oh, then I about start crying, you know. But he said, I'm sorry, mister. He said, you know, I'm telling the story live now, right? But he said, I didn't want to steal your horse. I just wanted to take him and show him to my friends. Well, I mean, that was the case, because he was running towards a mental institution where he lived. And so I thought, wow, this is a different deal. In the meantime, I've got to get to a rodeo at Odessa. I mean, the Odessa Pro Rodeo was on. So I'm looking at my watch, and I said, okay. So we load the horse in the trailer. We go to the institution, and he pulled up in front of the dorm, and here come his friends, just about 20 of them. And if my horse hadn't been gentle, they'd all got kicked and run over, because they were underneath him, petting him on the belly and everything. And I'm like, whoa, don't know how this is going to work. But we stayed there until his friends had a chance to see that Little Joe was my horse's name.
All right.
And it's like I said in the story, it was such an impact on me because when I drove out of there, I realized, hey, okay, yeah, your main deal is you're trying to get to the rodeo and here's your agenda. But it was like, hold it, there's something more important than just my agenda. It was reaching out to these guys. You know.
So then you picked Cliff up.
Yeah, exactly. then he was hitchhiking just down the road.
I was exactly. The thief there. That was me.
Yeah, actually, I wasn't going to mention that.
I was going towards my home, the mental institution.
Cliff, talk a little bit about how you guys did meet. Get me up on
that. Well, we met at a pastor's conference, a big pastor's conference. And we were sitting at the same table, big round table and everything. The pastor was a big church. And they were trying to get other pastors and churches to be involved in their ministry, et cetera, et cetera. And Jeff and I kind of looked at each other, and I said, I don't think this is my kind of deal. And he said, not mine either. So we just kind of hooked up in the spirit right then. And we just connected later, and I've been we've worked together on his book, and we've done a lot of work on that through the years. And so we've been traveling to sharing Jesus about everywhere we go.
All right. Jeff's got another story program called Squirt Bottle. You want to tell it to me, or you want us to play it?
Well, now I can tell it.
Let's just tell it.
So I had a roping school. For years I had month-long roping schools, and they'd be starting October, which, you know how Texas is. October can be, gee, it's nice, the summer's over, or it could be, I thought summer was over.
Right.
You know, well, that was the kind of day it was. We were out roping in tying calves. It was hot. I mean, it got horrible hot. And so there was about six of us, and so we were all just really working hard out there, and finally we decided we got to get some water. I mean, we didn't have water out at the arena. And so here comes one of our guys from Saskatchewan, Canada, and he was leading his horse in one hand, and the other hand he had a squirt bottle. And, you know, here's five, six cowboys that are really thirsty, and okay, make a run for him. We're going to steal his squirt bottle. So I was the second fastest. The first guy was a guy from Montana. His name was Jim. And he grabbed this squirt bottle away from this Darren, and glug, glug, glug. And after about the second glug, glug, he just started spitting violently. And I said, and I grabbed the bottle for him. I said, yeah, right. Because I thought he was just faking it. So I wouldn't get any of the water, right? But so, now this is dumb to the max, right? So I grabbed the bottle, and I go glug, glug, two glugs, and I start spitting, and he was still spitting, and we make a break for the horse water trough, and you'll know in a second why, and we got to that water trough, we would drink and spit some more, drink some more, and just like, and besides, I think we were making some agonizing noises. Well, here's the Paul Harvey. The rest of the story is our friend Darren was trying to go back to Saskatchewan with his horse. And in order to get your papers, you have to have a horse urine sample. Oh, this is a help me Jesus, by the way. And so the squirt bottle was, yep, folks, it was horse pee. That's what it was. So, by the way, if anybody ever asked me if I know what it tastes like, I mean, I know exactly. And anyway, we've thought about, is that presumption that what you see on the outside of the bottle is what's on the inside? There was there's kind of a connection there, but I won't try to get spiritual.
I think he's trying to get spiritual there, but I'm not
sure. It's pretty hard to make that one spiritual. Hey, it's called Don't Be Stupid.
Yeah. Cliff.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You have a song you can...
Yeah, I would like to sing one. It's one of Jeff's Copenhaver's favorite songs. It's by Ronnie Millsap, and I kind of changed the words up a little bit, so it's our message, but it's called What a Difference You've Made in My Life.
Okay, yeah, we're and, very familiar with that.
Anyway, God's made a difference in my life, I mean, if you had followed me around in Hollywood, you know, in Nashville, I was on Capitol Records there for a while. So you follow me around, you'd see the difference that God has made in my life. I was divorced for 4 years, and God restored my marriage, and we've been married now for 48 years. So God does miracles. When you remarry a crashed, terrible marriage, God can do anything. For those that are listening today, God can do anything if you yield your life to Him.
So you were married and then you separated? Were you divorced?
We divorced. We divorced for four years. 4 years.
Okay, and then you got back again?
And I went to Nashville and did my thing, and anyway, got back together. That's a long story. I mean, it's back and forth, but anyway. What a difference you've made in my life. What a difference you've made in my life. You're my sunshine, day and night. What a difference you've made in my life. What a change you've made in my heart. What a change you've made in my heart. You've replaced all the broken parts. What a change you have made in my heart. Love to me was just a word and a thought that had been way overused. But now I'm lost in the feeling you showed me love to. That's why I'm gonna spread the news. What a difference Jesus will make in your life. Oh, what a difference He'll make in your life. He'll be your sunshine day and night. What a difference He'll make. Mm-hmm. What a difference. Oh, what a difference He'll make in your life.
The program is Lyrics and Legends. We've got a good one going on today. We've got in the studio with us Jeff Copenhaver, and also in the studio Leon Cliff. We call Cliff just because it's shorter. Leon, you know, Leon Cliff, that's like four more letters there. So you guys talked a little bit earlier, maybe before we started, about a book that you have written. Talk a little bit about that, yeah. Jeff.
Well, it's called God Wants You to Win. And, you know, in the introduction, of it, it says, I tell a little bit of the story that I was telling you a second ago about, you know, being a young boy and around my dad, a world champion. But, you know, I say in that introduction, it says, you know, I found out as I grew up that there was a little more than a six-year-old's perspective on what winning really is. And, you know, some of the testimony I gave you a second ago is part of it. But this book is, actually the new one is, really a volume 1, 2, 3. There's like 100 stories in it, but they're short stories, most of them one page, some of them 1.5, 2 pages. So they're easy to read. They're short stories, real life stories. And literally, we made this statement one time that each real life story is a pathway to God, literally to God. You know, and it, you know, I just tell different life situations. Some are funny, some are serious, some of them are almost tragic, but then they all, you know, how they turn out, what happens. And I tell you, people have been, I don't know how else to say other than dynamically touched by these stories. And I think one reason they are is because rodeo is, in the level that my dad rodeoed and I rodeoed, there's actually more disappointment than anything. That, you know, you're trying to climb to the top, but you have this difficulty, and there's financial challenges, or maybe you got close, and then you got injured, and this and that, and everything happened. And I think what people relate to is seeing, hey, they're having challenges in their lives. you know, winning isn't always that easy. They might have marriage, finances, whatever it is. And I think that people are reading this book and they're getting the message that we wanted to put in there. And that's that God loves them. God is real, not just a religious kind of set of rules, but that God is real and he loves his people and he wants them to win. Just win in life, you know right. what I'm saying? Not just in rodeo or in a one-dimensional, but in the big picture, right?
Right. And so you and Cliff kind of teamed up after this pastor's conference. How did that work out? Did you guys automatically say, hey, let's go do some meetings, or did it take a while for you guys to...
One of the things I was doing, I prayed, there's prayers and then there's some real serious prayers. Sure. And at that time, about a decade ago, I prayed and I said, God, I need some help. I mean, some serious help. I need some help in this ministry because we are expanding. We are getting the opportunity through these books. We passed out like 600,000 of them so far, or almost 600,000. We've done CDs that are on, Legends Radio, and there are so many opportunities, and yet I needed somebody that was the right person to help me. And, I mean, God sent, no doubt in my mind, that God heard that prayer. He sent Leon into my life. And I think as Christians, lots of times we just don't realize that when we pray, usually God answers that prayer by sending us someone.
Right.
You know, the right banker or the right this or you know.
How radio engineer maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, right, radio engineer, exactly. And that's what the case was. Him and we worked great together. There's so many similarities. He has 32 acres place. I have 32 acre place. He pastored for X amount of years. I pastored for X. I mean, you start going down the list like, hold it, this is crazy. I mean, we had all these, and his testimony is so similar to mine. Only he's in the music world and I was in the rodeo world.
He was living at the asylum and you were visiting the asylum.
Exactly. Where I was thinking about living.
Okay, we're going to give you the chance to defend yourself, Cliff. Jump in here.
Oh, man. Well, you know, it's been quite a journey, quite a trip hanging out with Jeff. And it's amazing. These books are translated into Spanish and Russian, and they've gone literally all over the world. And literally, we were talking about this on the way here today. The astonishing testimonies, especially these people from prisons, that it's just mind-blowing. It's that one guy says, I can't even hardly read the book because the tears are falling from my face. And he said, and that I led my three cellies in a cell with him right. to the Lord. And I mean, it goes on and on and on. Now I know Jesus. And so these books, they may be about cowboy stories, but like Jeff said, each real life story reveals a trail that leads to God. And so that's what these books really are about. We're in the ministry. We're on a mission field for America. God told Jeff years ago to take this word to the Western world, the rodeo world, and the whole world. And that's what we're doing. They're in different countries. Did you know that also that he birthed the first cowboy church?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Well, there he said. There you go. He can tell you about it.
And that was in a logical place. In the biggest honky tonk in the world, at Billy Bob's.
Billy Bob's. Okay.
We started Cowboy Church in January 1986. Whole story to that. That's too long a story for.
Well, give us a taste of it because that's what we're here for.
I'll tell it really fast. In 1985, I was president of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Cowboy Chapter, and I was preaching on the last Sunday morning at the first NFR in Vegas. You know, in Las
right.
Vegas, and. The night before, the day before that last Sunday, I went out to see Benny Binion that owned the Horseshoe Club.
Right.
And the reason I knew Benny is he had given me my first horse through my dad. My dad okay. knew him because they loved horses and everything. And so when I left, and also my sister's done a 13-foot tall horse and rider statue of Benny. She's a bronze artist, really well known. But we rode back to town. Benny said, hey, get a ride with Billy Bob and them. They're taking a limo back. And when I rode in that limo, I asked Billy Bob and his manager, Tex Whitson, who used to be Merle Haggard's manager.
Okay.
I asked him, I said, hey, is there a place in the stockyards in Fort Worth that we can have, like, Christian cowboy meetings for kids and, you know, high school kids and whatnot? And they said, well, no, we'll have to check that out. Well, and at the same time, I said, hey, you guys come to church tomorrow morning at the Coliseum. Well, that night was Billy Bob's birthday. So I thought, Las Vegas, Billy Bob's birthday, they probably won't be showing up, right? But Tex says, I'll be there. So long story short, Tex shows up, and he takes off his hat to pray, and you can see, he didn't sleep last night, right? He looked like a train had run over it. But God touched Tex that morning. Reba's sister, Susie,
right,
sang that morning, you know, and a calf roper friend of mine gave a short testimony, and I preached quickly. They gave us 32 minutes for the whole service. But at the end of the deal, Tex said, Jeff, you got to come see me at Billy Bob's when you get home. And I said, okay. And I did. And Tex said, Jeff, we want you to come in, have church in the bull riding arena at Billy Bob's during the Fort Worth Rodeo. So we did. Boom, boom, boom. 3 weeks. Had also all sorts of NFR cowboys, Bobby DiVecchio, Bruce Ford, champions of that era. Susie was there. She sang. And at the end of those 3 weeks, Tex looks at me. Now, you got to know he's looking at a rodeo cowboy.
Right.
I mean, I'm a Christian cowboy then, but I mean, what he was about to ask me should have just made me run. But he got to the end of the deal, and he said, well, Jeff, he says, I think we're supposed to keep having church here. And he said, do you want a pastor here? And you got to know, I'm glad I didn't work that through my conscious thinking, because with that doing, I said, yep. And I couldn't believe I said, yep. And the rest is history.
So where were you living during
that? I was living in Granbury, west of Fort Worth.
Okay, it wasn't like...
But, so we had, for 2 years, we had church in the bull riding arena. Then when they closed for a while, we went to the auction barn right next door. And then we went to the Stockyards Hotel. But what we didn't realize when all this was going on, that people would come, not because we were making any suggestions, it just happened. People would come and they'd say, hey, let's go home and start church in a bar, or let's go home and have church in a barn or an auction barn. So, all these places. Well, then the thing just exploded.
But tell them the first and second, third cowboy churches.
Well, we were the first cowboy church. The second one was my friend Phil Doan, who's in the Canadian Cowboy Hall of Fame, and they started having church at the Ranchman's Bar in the Silver Saddle Room. Guess who met there before they were Christian? My wife and I. Now,
really?
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So here we are years later having church in the bar that we met at. And then the third cowboy church, Johnny Cash's sister Joanne and her husband Harry Yates from Nashville came to Phil's to preach and share at the Ranchman's Bar. And they got so excited about cowboy church, they said, we're going to Nashville and starting the third cowboy church. And they did. And what was wild for them is they had every musician in the world. So we visited cowboy church. They had it in the Sweetwater Lounge in Nashville. And they had about 15 musicians. And
wow.
You can imagine the music they had.
Yeah.
Anyway, and the rest, it just took off from there.
Wow. That's it. Yeah, that cowboy church phenomenon that's happened over the last few years is just
crazy.
Swept the country.
Yeah.
So that's really neat.
Yeah.
Leon, Cliff, you want to defend yourself again?
Do you want another song or just made a talk?
Well, let's do a song.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. Woo. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again, going places that I've never been, like Shamrock, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Woo.
on the road again. Yeah. Like a band of Christians, we go down the highway.
Yeah.
We're the best of friends, insisting that Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. On the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again. The life of love is praising Jesus with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again. And God wants you to win.
Programs, lyrics, and legends. We always seem to go off on different routes. This one's been great. I've enjoyed everything we've done so far. We're not through yet, so we've got a little time. But in the studio with us is Jeff Copenhaver, who has a program we've been featuring on the radio station. Just started a few weeks ago, and that one's called God Wants You to Win.
God Wants You to Win.
I almost had it.
Yeah.
So, and with Jeff in the studio with us is Leon Cliff. Leon just sang On the Road Again. I thought if you'd have had some ponytails there, I would have closed my eyes and
exactly.
Heard Willie over there.
Well, we throw in a few little extra words here and there. You know, I make them up as they go along. You know, I mean, it's just part of the game.
Willie just had a birthday, number 86 or something like that, a couple of days ago. Happy birthday, Willie.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Willie.
I'm sure he'll be listening. So, tell us, we've kind of gone through where you guys grew up, a little bit about you starting out in the rodeo business and Cliff's music career, and then how God brought you guys together and how you got, where do you see this going from here? Have you guys, tell me a little bit about your Canadian-Texas connection first.
Well, our special friends, David and Pat Young, I tell you, kind of like Leon and I get divinely connected, we get divinely connected with them. And David is such a on fire, you know, you hear the phrase an on fire Christian, but he's kind of what we compare ourselves little with, right?
Right, right.
It's
right.
A little depressing to compare yourself with David, but literally, you know, he works, he has helped promote so many outreaches, and I'll bet you physically, I'm not exaggerating at all, physically, he has passed out probably 40,000 books out of his hand. And he'll take them to all kinds of places. It might be a optical dentist place, an optical doctor's office, and he'll pass out 100 books. Or if he goes to a rodeo one time, this was in Altus, wasn't it? I got to tell a David.
All right, tell a
David
story.
Young story. So he goes to, he could probably tell it better, but I'm having more fun.
Yeah.
So he goes to the rodeo, and he's going to pass out books at the rodeo. And which, by the way, all the books are free. All these half-man books we pass, they're all free. And no catches. It's just, here they are. And so he was taking all these books to Altus. Well, somebody asked him, they said, hey, we want you to ride in the grand entry. And he kind of said he had a check about it. He says, I don't know about this particular horse they had lined out for him, you know. And but he went ahead and got on this horse. Well, this horse was about half bronc, and he ducked out from under him and throwed him in a slough, a stinkiest, awfulest.
Slough might be the nice word.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's kind of a septic slough almost, you know, and this was stinking, horrible, awful deal. Well, this is the grand entry, and he's got to pass out books immediately. And, I mean, this is typical of David Young right here. Most people would have just like, okay, we're going to pack up, tuck our tail between our legs, and we'll pass out books on another day. No, he goes and gets washed off, cleaned up. I'm sure he didn't get descented, right? He found a water hose and stuck it down his pants and got as clean as he could get. And guess what? Before he left that rodeo, he passed out about 1,100 books by hand.
So when I got in the pickup, my wife says, you smell like you stepped in something. I said, honey, I just didn't step in it. I fell in it.
He fell in it. But anyway, and that's changed, really, that's changed our ministry. because David has literally been a catalyst to the Panhandle. All this country, he's gotten us on. We've had we're still on, I guess, a billboard or two, but we had billboards about in Dalhart, Amarillo, Canadian, Dumas. I mean, I don't know. They're in about 8 different places. These giant billboards that said "God wants you to win."
I've seen them. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's David's doing, and between you know, or coming to you on for the radio and billboards and books, and so you know what. Again, when God's about to do something and expand your life, he brings you that key person.
Right. I'll tell you a good story. David's brother, Frank, was a member of our church years ago when my boys were little. And Frank had a unique way of sharing the word. He'd get up and he'd say what was on his mind. And when he was over, he didn't do like most preachers. He would grab both sides of the Bible, close it, and say, "I'm done." And my oldest son, he said, "Dad, he needs to be our pastor because he didn't keep closing, you know, 4 or 5 right. times."
I like it.
Frank Young was a big influence on my life.
Wow.
There's a lot of stories. You're talking to a couple of preachers. Yeah,
there's a lot of stories about preaching too long. Believe me.
Yeah,
believe
really.
Oh, but he was a great man of God, yeah. Frank Young.
We've been also going to FFA conventions. We passed out. Unbelievable how many thousands and thousands of these books to the future of America. We see them right. As the FFA students. Right. We're going right now. We have the unction from the Lord to go to the Indian, the
Native American
rodeos. And so we're trying to cover everything we can. The reason is, I get excited, that these books, they're devotionals. They're funny sometimes, and they're serious sometimes. But the thing is, like he said, it's like having a tornado. You know, we've been having any tornadoes. And he said, we think there might be a tornado wrapped in a rain cloud. That's the way these books are. God is wrapped in these stories. And that's what's changing lives. That's the Spirit of God that's in these books. And that's why we are serious about getting these books everywhere we can go and giving them away free. I don't care if we stop people on the street, on the highway, wherever it is, we give a book away because we know they're changing lives.
Right.
I mean, the letters we get back in would astonish you, honestly, what the people saying. One guy was going to commit suicide. Tell him that story real quickly.
Sheriff had a, you know, just an overwhelming bunch of things happen in his life, and it caused him to go bankrupt. And right after he was bankrupt, his wife leaves with another man, takes her children, their children, and he's sitting, and he's the one that told all this story. This isn't secondhand. And he's sitting in his sofa. He's got his pistol in his hand. He's, you know, he's already decided there's no hope for him in this world. And he said he looked up on his kitchen table. There's a bunch of just mess up there. And he saw a book that somebody had given him at a horse sale. And it said, "God wants you to win." And before he took that pistol and stepped into eternity, he opened that book and he began to read. And today that sheriff is on fire for the Lord.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We need to get one more of your stories in here. This is it called Camper Crawler? Did I get that right?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah.
You want to just tell it? I like listening to you.
Well,
or
I mean,
we
I can either
CD?
Way. I guess I'm here live, so I'll tell it.
Just tell it.
This is a friend of mine in Montana. What was really funny about this is when I heard this story, my friend Mark Kane, he's from Billings, Montana, he knew the people and, you know, the firsthand deal of the guys that did that. And when he was telling this story, he laughed so hard. We all thought we got to laugh. We thought we were going to hurt ourselves, literally. So this cowboy, and I've come close to doing the same thing, so it's not as hard as you think to do, because 4 guys get out of the truck stop. They've got a pickup and a camper and a horse trailer, and they get out the truck stop, and some of the guys are in the back of the camper and some are up front. So you just assume, if you're the driver, like, okay, somebody got in the camper and, you know, we're kind of moving as a group. And so he takes off. Well, what he didn't realize is one guy ain't loaded in the camper yet. And that guy that didn't quite make it, he's running, and he runs for all he's worth while this truck's moving, jumps on the back bumper, and is hanging on to the camper because the truck's, you know, kind of taken off pretty good by now. And nobody, and of course, he tries to signal outside the deal. Nobody's looking. And so now we're going a little 45, 55, you know, now we're getting, you know, getting close to the freeway. Now, you know, now we're rolling. Well, hey, a dangerous thing happened. He got a thought. and he thought, I know what I'll do. The camper had a ladder, you know, like to do lots of times in the back. I'm going to climb up over the top and maybe I can get the driver's attention. Lord, that was a bad thought anyway. So, and this is all true story. So he crawls up the ladder, goes, you know, I don't know if he's banging on the camper. Nobody heard him anyway. But he goes across the top and he reaches down his arm in front of the driver. Well, hell, David, one of David's favorite saying, hello, what are you going to do if you're driving and an arm comes down?
Probably
going to
hit the brakes.
And so he hits the brakes and you think, well, he's dead. He's run over and dead, right? No, it's kind of an Indiana Jones deal. The guy's got a deer guard. So when he flies over the front, he grabs the deer guard, and now he's dragging underneath, but going 9-0. He's dragging with his body underneath, and I don't know, the driver, I'm sure, thought he'd killed him by then, you know, and whatever. And he gets it stopped, but that was the story on the camper crawler. And I think that was another one of the stories that I think the tie-in was like, you know, read Proverbs. You might get smarter.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Yeah. Every one of these stories has a God at the end of
yeah.
it. You know, and so yeah. it could, I don't know what the scripture yeah. was at that time, yeah. but it could have been, yeah. Be faithful, hang on. Hang on.
God, I'm glad you threw that in, Cliff, because I was
Jesus
going, where
will
the
not
heck
leave
is this
you alone. You know, don't let go. And things like that, and give a scripture. So that's the neat yeah. thing about these yeah. these books. I mean, they're...
Yeah, I was looking for the hook on that one, because yeah. I was like, I don't know where this is going.
Yeah, yeah.
We probably ought to get... have you got one more song you can throw in there?
I get it.
Get you a million of them.
Yeah, you want a Roger Miller or you want a Johnny Cash?
Oh, let's do Johnny Cash.
Okay. I did a show with Johnny Cash called the Operation Entertainment Show. You remember that TV thing? I hear the train echoing, it's rolling round the bend. I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when, but I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging home. I hear the train a-coming on down to San Antone. When I was just a little boy, my mother told me, son, Jeff, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns, but I shot a man a Reno just to watch him die. I hear the train a-coming, I hang my head and cry. Well, I bet there's rich folks eating in a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. But I know I had it coming, I know I can't be free. Yeah, let you, those people keep a-moving, and that's what tortures me. If they freed me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I'd bet I'd move it on a little further down the line, far from Folsom Prison, where I'd long to stay. I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away. I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
All right.
All right. Little Johnny Cash. Okay, we're going to have to wrap this up pretty quick. You've got one more here called Are You Entered. I thought that might be good if we could share that one, and then we'll...
Yeah.
Red Steagall always says at the end of it, we got it saucered and blowed. Well, after this, we're going to have it saucered and blowed.
Well, I forget. It was about, I don't know, early or middle 80s, somewhere in there. And, of course, I was going to the winter rodeos, which is Denver, Fort Worth, San Antonio, Houston. And, you know, Rodeo Cowboy, those are the big four rodeos. And, you know, you can place it. Any one of those can really spark a good year. You know, you'll be, you know, have kind of a jump start on making the national finals. Well, I went to Denver and Fort Worth, and I was about to enter San Antonio, but it's like the movie, but Houston, we have a problem. We got busy. I got busy, and I forgot to enter. And anybody that's been around rodeo, you know that if the books close at 1 o'clock, at 2 minutes after, and it doesn't matter if you helped a Girl Scout troop from, you know, running their bus over a cliff, or if you just donated four ranches to a good cause, you know, that's why you're 2 minutes late. It just doesn't matter. And so I called and I told this, you know, the secretary, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm sure I gave some kind of phone. I don't know if I lied, but I wanted to. And anyway, she says, well, I'm so sorry, sir, but you know, you're 2 minutes late. And you know, that's just the way pro rodeo is. And you know, most of us have heard the cowboy prayer, but you know, if you go to any rodeos, you know, like, and one, it goes to the end of the prayer, and one day, you know, we'll go to that place where the grass is stirrup high and the waters do this or that, and somebody will say to you that, you know, your entry fees are paid. Well, here's the problem. My entry fees were paid that year, but guess what I didn't do? I didn't get entered. And, you know, that is such a good similarity between rodeo and eternity. You know, Jesus paid the price. And, you know, I'm not big on the cowboy prayer unless they'd say that. I wish they'd add this at the end. Now, one of these days when you get there and the grass is high and I guess the squirrels jump on your head and a few other things like that, you know, that they'll say to you that your entry fees are paid. And yes, son, you got entered.
Well, yeah.
You received Jesus Christ.
Cool. We've got just a couple of minutes to wrap this up. We have what we call the Department of Shameless Plugs, which allows you guys to tell people how to contact you, to buy CDs, to get books, to whatever they want to do. So throw that in here before we wrap this thing up.
Well, you can go to our, which is on the radio program, you can go to letter U, number 2, utowin.org, or you can go to jeffcopenhaverministries.com. Either one will get you to our website. All of these stories are on video there. There's like 50 stories, and they're really fun to watch on video. If you want to be part of our ministry and help us print, we just printed 83,000 books more the other day. But I believe this year to get to rodeos and prisons, all the place we're going to, that we're going to have probably at least two or three more printings to cover them.
And so, a lot of money.
Yeah, it takes a lot of money, yeah.
It does.
Yeah. It's like somebody said, my friend David Young said, you know, the gospel's free, but it takes money to get right. It there. Yeah,
I think he stole that line from his brother.
Somebody.
His brother Frank, probably.
Okay.
All right. We want to thank you guys for coming in here. Just take a minute and say a prayer for our listeners here. And,
I will. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this time together. It's just fun to, we've had fun. You know, Lord, your word says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And your word says happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Lord, your gospel is a noble gospel. It simply says, hey, I love my people enough that I died for them and sent my son. And I want to work through them. I want to help them. I want to bless them and help them to win. And I want to encourage every listener, every one of you out there, that God wants you to win. And he wants you to win in every area of your life, with your family, your friends, your marriage, your finances, your job, your business, and in every dream that he puts in your heart. And I want to encourage you from my life testimony and all these other guys that when you have a dream in your heart, you trust God to help you because he wants to and he will. And all you got to do is trust him. And for anyone that doesn't know the Lord, it's just as simple as saying, Lord, you're real. I see that you're real. I hear that you're real through these voices, through these men that are speaking today. Lord, I give my life to you. I receive you into my heart, Lord. It's not about getting religious. It's about having a personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. That's the greatest decision that you made right there that you'll ever make this side of eternity. God loves you, and we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for coming in, guys. We appreciate you guys taking time to come into the studio and visit with us. Enjoy the program on the radio. Cliff, it's good to meet you and hear some of your songs. And hope if you guys get back up this way, you'll stop in and see us again real soon.
Thanks for having us.
All right.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware. Join us next time here on Legends 92.9.